Fred Film Radio, il cinema ritrovato, Bologna, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 Il Cinema Ritrovato in Bologna, a wonderful festival. And I am very pleased to be joined by a man of great intelligence and one of the most celebrated and esteemed film historians in the world, Bernard Heisenschütz. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
So you're doing so many things at the festival that it would be crazy for me to talk about absolutely everything, but we briefly talked before the interview that we would focus on two things in particular that are related to the programs that you're actually programmed or co-curated. And they deal with two very important figures in film history. One of them is Jean Vigo, the great French cineast, and the second one is Robert Mitchum, the great Hollywood actor. So I think we should start with Jean Vigo, and our listeners may not be familiar with him, crazy as it may seem, but just in case they're not, for those who are not familiar, how would you introduce Jean Vigo?
Jean Vigo was a director who made only four films, one feature film, one film 40 minutes long, one 10-minute film, and another film. His first film was a silent film about Nice called A Propos de Nice. So four films. He died aged 29, and that should not be taken into account to celebrate Jean Vigo. But those four films have such intensity and such poetry that they've remained unforgettable for those who have seen them. I have had the surprise of meeting or talking with people in Moscow, in Africa, in other countries, in any country, for whom the vision of the Vigo film was really an eye-opener and was something that they recalled as some very intense experience in their life. Actually, this program came about because Gaumont, who's a right holder to the Vigo films, had decided to do a restoration of all four films and show them at the Il Cinema Ritrovato, do them with the laboratory of the cinema of the Bologna, of the Cineteca di Bologna, and we worked on those four films for about 6 months, which is not much time, but it's we managed to do it. And the problem was, of course, that three out of those two films had several versions, we had to make a choice. We decided that we would go to the original material and not try and combine several versions as many people had done before. So in the case of L'Atalantis, well, really difficult because the film never came out in the shape Vigo wanted it. The music, which was extremely important for Vigo, the composer was kind of a brother, a soul brother, and the music was replaced by a song of the time. And ever since, people have been trying to discover the film that Vigo really wanted to make, and if he had done so, if he had had the time, if he had had the money, if there hadn't been any censorship, if there hadn't been any producer, what would he have done? And we decided to say no. We have something, we have a trace of what he did do. We have a print, very original print, in which the last shot is missing, so we know that the print was done when Vigo was alive, and the last shot was made after the sound was recorded on his instructions. It was an aerial shot. So we know that this is his first editing, and we're going to use that without adding anything, without correcting anything. And so that's the joy of reconstruction, not having to do sticking to one principle and not having to do, say, to surmise what would have happened, or this is a great shot, of course it's a great shot, and why don't we put it in because it's so beautiful, people will enjoy it. And in fact, what happened was, when people discovered this film, which had never been seen except in London, actually this print was sent to London.
All right.
Because they didn't have any other print, actually. They were changing the music, and in London, the Film Society wanted to have the film. They'd heard about it through Alberto Cavalcanti, the Brazilian, is a director who was also one of the early teachers of cinema in California, in Los Angeles. And so that print was there alone, and it was seen in London a few times in the Film Society. So this is a print we use. We didn't go anywhere else, but we also had a lot of outtakes, actually 1 hour and a half of outtakes, and we decided this time for the Cinema Ritrovato to show the outtakes, and with a few explanations which I gave live while showing the outtakes. Most of it is shot silent. Vigo was the director. I forgot to say that Vigo was the director of the transition from silent to sound film, his first documentary film. Avant-garde film, A Propos de Nice, was a silent film. And the other three films, a short commissioned film about swimming, and his two fiction films, Zéro de Conduite and La Talente, are sound film, in which he experiments a lot with sound. He does the kind of thing that you can do when you discover an invention. It's not routine yet. You have to invent everything. So you can be extremely experimental, or not at all, or you can be very straightforward, but he was considering sound as a score of its own, not as just a delivery of informative words. And also Vigo was a surrealist in the original sense, not a member of the surrealist school, but he was a surrealist in the way that he thought that there was always something in reality. There was always some magic in reality, and you see that a lot in La Talente. You know, the two lovers see one another at the beginning, the two lovers, the woman tells the man, when you plunge your head in water, you see the one you love. That's the way I saw you first, before even meeting you. And then when she disappears, the man goes completely crazy, and he plunges into the water to see her again, and they dream about making love together, although they're separated and so on. So you have a lot of stuff which is not quote-unquote realistic, but which is the fantastic of reality. So that's what else can I do? What else can I say about Vigo?
There would be lots to say, but I think you were very extensive there. It was a fantastic program, and the thrill for the audience is to watch the entire filmography in less than a day. But I feel like it's a perfect filmography, because even when you think about the very first shot of A Propos de Nice and the last shot of La Talente, they're both aerial shots, and it's almost, you know, there's would be so much to talk about even just of those two shots. And I think we should leave it at that for Jean Vigo, because time is cruel. And I want to talk about Robert Mitchum as well. Robert Mitchum is also the poster boy of this year's edition of the festival. And he's a great actor. And I just want you to kind of just... I'm going to leave the mic right here, and you can just talk about this excellent actor.
Well, actually, I'm going to talk about the way it came about. Actually, Gianluca Farinelli had the idea of doing a tribute to Mitchum. And tributes in Cinema Ritrovato are 8 films, because there are 8 days in the festival. And we had a discussion over dinner, and I said, yes, you should have this and this and this. And at the end of the discussion, of course, he trapped me and said, of course, well, why don't you do it? If you have so many ideas, I say, of course, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Of course, it was much more difficult than I thought. But still, choosing from Mitchum, in the first place, from the start, I think from the first time I or my fellow French cinéphile saw Mitchum, we knew he was not only a star, but he was also an extremely good actor, actually a great actor, when he wanted to. In the films that we loved, so in many films that we saw and loved, and he could be very bad in films that he had no interest in, but we saw that he could do a lot of more than he was given credit to. He was given credit for being a storyteller, for being a very humorous person, for not caring about his acting, etc., etc. And we were absolutely convinced that it was not so. And I decided to do the programming with my friend Philippe Garnier, who was a journalist and writer, and who had met and interviewed Mitchum in the States. Actually, we saw this interview this afternoon. And he knew a lot about this, about Mitchum's way of working, ways of caring for his parts, and ways of hiding the fact that he did care, that he knew a lot about acting, that he had learned by himself a lot about acting. And I told the story of this apparent nonchalance of Mitchum. I told the story of a Russian director coming to the States and making his first film with Nastasia Kinski, and Mitchum playing, of course, by then the father in the late 70s, mm-hmm. early 80s. And he was telling a friend of mine and me how it went. I say, oh, Nastasia was wonderful, and so-and-so was wonderful, etc., etc. But we only had one very bad actor. He was playing the father, you know, Robert Mitchum. And we both jumped and said, oh, he's wonderful. He said, okay, it was wonderful talking with him in the evening until three in the morning, but as an actor, etc. And we understood that a Russian director, maybe a European director, but certainly a Russian director, had no idea of the way acting, so-called natural actors in American cinema, develop their work and their parts. And he was stuck, a very good director, I must point out, but he was, his idea of acting was a Stanislavski-based idea. Stanislavski, Russian, the original Stanislavski, not the American way. And he had no idea that an actor could come in and know so much about his part and know so much about film acting and not being able to, or hiding it from him. And so he never understood that. Maybe that was also at the time when Mitchum didn't care. Mm. Because in our programming, we both agreed that there is a great Mitchum period between, say, 1947, where he made at least 3-4 great films, Out of the Past, Pursued, what else, Crossfire, The Locket is a little bit before, and so on. Well, there are 3 or 4 really great films, and 73, 74, Friends of Eddie Cole and Yakuza, and after that we both agreed that he didn't care anymore, and he would be in those stupid remakes of Big Sleep, etc., and it was really nothing. Except, of course, for his cameo in Jim Jarmusch's Dead Man.
Oh, yes.
But he really didn't care anymore. So we chose film from those 25 years. So that was comparatively easy, and we found that there were two kind of a Mitchum character. Usually a star has one character. Let's say a John Wayne has one character, a Gary Cooper, a contemporary actor, or an actor who worked at the same time Mitchum did, let's say, Fonda or Wayne, although they were older than he was, but even the, let's say, Gregory Peck or his contemporaries, mm-hmm. were more or less had one image, but Mitchum had two, which was one of the nonchalant adventurer, which was to us, to both of us, by coincidence, or not so coincidentally, exemplified by Bandido by Richard Fleischer. And the other one is the vagrant character, or the, you know, the not exactly pre-road movie, but really the grassroots American who doesn't really know where he fits, and which you have in Nicholas Ray's Lusty Man, which you have certainly in one of Mitchum's best characterization, Robert Parrish's Wonderful Country. Ah. I think it's one of Mitchum's very best characterizations, one of his best performances, thanks to Robert Parrish, thanks to a very good script, thanks to Mitchum, who was also a co-producer. The fact that we're shooting way away from Hollywood, which is also the case. Both Bandido and Wonderful Country were shot in Mexico, so away from the studios, away from, you know, he couldn't be that lazy, and he was really interested in both films. So we had those two aspects of Mitchum. That's why it's called something like, we wanted to call it Two Faces of Robert Mitchum.
Right.
And they called it The Two Faces or something like that. Uh-huh. But never mind.
Yeah. That's fascinating stuff, and we've way gone past the time, but it was priceless to have you talk about these two great figures of cinema history. It's really great to listen to you talk about these two and cinema in general. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.